You're listening to the Sunday Messages podcast, brought to you by Cypress Creek Church.
In the 1600s, there was a group of believers that had just moved to Massachusetts. It was a colony back then, and they were called Puritans, and things were not going as originally planned. They came with spiritual convictions to bring about a new group, a new way of doing life. They didn't want the government, like they did in England, to tell them how to do church, and so they were hoping for freedom of expression with religion. But what was happening is too much freedom. They weren't going to church at all, and things were happening. And so the way that they dealt with this problem was they said, you know, we need more educated pastors. And so their solution was to start a school. And it took off. This man who was in his 30s was ill. He was soon going to be with Jesus, but he heard about this plan and he felt incredibly energetic about it. And so he gave half of his estate and 400 books of his personal library to this school. And so the people loved that gift and honored him by naming the school after him. And that is the founding of Harvard University, to train pastors in Massachusetts. That may be shocking to some of you. My preference is to be trained at Texas State University, the best place for ministry. I'm not joking, by the way, because the best seminary is actually following Jesus and sharing your faith in an environment that may not be as friendly to Christians and Jesus. But here's the thing. The experiment didn't work. Only 50 years later, they realized, you know, it's not leaders that bring about this vivacious community that longs to see the scriptures upheld in lives that truly honor and glorify Jesus. But they doubled down, and so then they started another school around 50 years later that was going to stick to the scriptures and hold fast to the faith. And that is how Yale University was started. And as we look now, generations later, how that experiment has unveiled, it's no mystery. And that's not a judgment. It's just fact. If you go to those universities and you go to those divinity programs, they're amongst the most liberal theological seminaries around, meaning that they don't uphold the conservative beliefs that this is truly the Word of God and that it means what it says. And it says what it means. And my point of that is that it's not educated pastors that's the solution. If we want to see the gospel go forth, if we want to see witnesses go Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth, it's not about who stands up here, but it's about who is out here. It's the empowered body, the convicted believer that carries the hope of the world through Jesus, the gospel. It's not just about educated or well-trained or whatever you want up here. And today we're going to participate in this survey from Harvard University. And I want to take it full circle because I actually think it's prophetic redemption. Here's what I mean by that. Let me share a little bit more about the survey, and then I'll talk about prophetic redemption. And don't worry, we're going to open up Acts chapter 11. So if you can't wait for that, we'll be there in a couple of minutes. Human Flourishing Program started at Harvard University. Baylor also was a part of this, and they call it the Global Flourishing Study. So they've gone out and tried to research groups all over the world to see what it means to be a flourishing human, what it looks like to actually provoke this type of flourishing in every culture, in every place in the world. And what we are a part of is we're one of 12 churches in the United States that's a part of the pilot for surveying churches here stateside. And they're not figuring out whether church is good for human flourishing. That's actually already set. That's already recognized. It's what specifically brings about human flourishing inside of churches. And so in the survey, by the way, it's completely voluntarily. No one's going to make you make it if you're like, I'm good. I'd just rather, you know. We're going to have some time, about 10, 15 minutes or so. Introverts, this is your day. We're going to have background music, And you can just sit and reflect and maybe fill out one and then forget the rest and just enjoy being in church in silence. And we're going to take time to fill out the survey. What I'd love for us to do is not only fill out the survey, but use it as an opportunity to reflect, because I do hope that we are a blessing to this study. I think we will. But more so, it's going to be a blessing to us as a church. We don't do surveys. That's not how that's not something that we do often. But we've actually experienced quite a bit of growth in the last 5 years of our church. Pre-COVID, our numbers were around 450 Sunday morning attendance. We got back there in 2021, a couple of years later, that 450 turned into 700. And this year, these last few weeks, we've been around 1,400. So we've grown quite a bit. And I can't wait to see what surveys say about how we're doing, how we're growing. Some of those are going to be personal questions. Others are going to be questions about about the church, things that we do, things that we do not do. Here's the thing. Be honest. Share what you want. Share what you feel led to share. And the link is going to be on the guide, ccc.guideflourishing. You'll see a little banner there. Click on that. It'll take you to the survey, but don't get there yet. Prophetic redemption. Here's what happens when we report what God is doing in our lives. We actually provoke faith that this gospel, that Jesus is the one and only Son of God, that he came to live a life that we couldn't live. He was perfect. We are a family of imperfect people following the only perfect Savior. And when we say yes to him, when we confess with our mouth, believe in our hearts, when we're baptized, and then begin to journey and follow him, that not only do our lives change, but also the families, the people in our family, also the people in our community. And I believe that this survey is actually going to redeem the origin of why Harvard existed in the first place, which was to edify the body of Christ, to remember that we are the light in the world, not one person, but a family of imperfect people are the hope of the world. And that's actually as only God would position where we are in the story of the church, our series through the book of Acts, where we find ourselves in Acts chapter 11. Peter is making a report. Peter is bringing back the results of what happened at this man's house. His name was Cornelius. Last week we looked at Acts chapter 10, where God came and moved, not only in this family's life, but it also symbolized that God was now coming for all people, not just saving those that were Jewish or had been converted into Judaism, but he came for all people by faith and grace alone. And in verse 1 of Acts 11, we read about how Peter reports the truth. It's applicable also for our weeks, because how many of us are either going to see family or going to see friends or receiving friends in our homes? Let me just see how many people are traveling and seeing people. By the way, if you don't have someone to spend Thanksgiving with, please do not leave here without plans. Ask a stranger saying, hey, what do you do? Invite them, invite yourself to their house if you need to, and say, I'll bring Chinese food. Do whatever it takes, but don't do that alone. That's why we're a community. Maybe don't invite yourself to the house, wait, but anyway, I'll let you guys figure that one out. This week is an opportunity for us to report the truth of what God is doing in our lives to our loved ones. Peter is doing that. In verse 1, it says, now the apostles and the brothers who were throughout Judea heard that the Gentiles also had received the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcision party criticized him, saying, you went to the uncircumcised men and ate with them. Before we do the survey, I want to hit 3 points in 18 verses of what it looks like to report the truth. Peter here is bringing this report of what God did at Cornelius. And what's the first thing that they did? They criticized him, saying, I can't believe that you ate with those uncircumcised people. First point is, if we want to report the truth, we got to expect criticism. You got to be ready for it. You got to embrace it. Not everyone is going to be open to hearing the truth, even the truth of what you've personally experienced, or the truth that Jesus is the only way, the truth, and the life. Let me talk a little bit about what's going on in these passages, because you may be saying circumcision party. I've never voted that party before. What is that? Is there a third option? This was the Jewish sect that believed that in order to come to God, you needed to be Jewish first. So you needed to do all these things before you were really accepted by God. And thanks be to God, that is no longer an obligation. No more circumcision. Our sign is baptism. So that is the way that we show that we are bought by God at a price, and we are now new in Him. And all God's people said, amen. And so first thing, he didn't even open his mouth. Boom, they were criticizing him. The Apostle Paul, we'll read later on, actually talks a lot about these Judaizers who are a part of the circumcision party. It's going to be a theme in the rest of the book of Acts. And he's speaking to them specifically in Galatians chapter 1, where he's telling them, oh, you slid just like Harvard did, just like Yale did, just like any of us can if we don't hold on to the truth, gather with believers, believe, remind ourselves of it. No one is immune. Doesn't matter where you live. We need to practice the fundamentals of the faith. And so Paul is telling them in Ephesians 1, even if an angel tells you something different than the gospel of Jesus Christ, do not listen to them. Let them be cursed. The angels, whoever is speaking. Because he says this, for am I now seeking the approval of man in Galatians 1:10? Or of God. Meaning, is he trying to tickle ears and try to tell people what they want to hear or what they need to hear? He writes, or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. When we report the truth, as Peter is about to do, we need to expect that not everybody is going to hear, going to like it. And here's the thing, Peter doesn't go on a whole, you know, tirade saying, you're going to hell and you guys are wrong. He actually, as I read this, study this, I think he does an incredible job modeling what it looks like for us to report the truth, especially for those that may criticize. And by the way, this is happening inside. This is not happening with outsiders. This is happening with the brothers, with those that have already have the Holy Spirit in them. Instead of trying to prove his rightness, He reports, we're going to see this, with honesty and humility. He reports the facts, and then he also models a humble heart. Let's read and see how he did that. Verse 4. But Peter began and explained it to them in order. He was sequential. He was chronological. I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision, something like a great sheet descending, being let down from heaven by its four corners. And it came down to me. Looking at it closely, I observed animals and beasts of prey and reptiles and birds of the air. What Peter is revealing is this vision that he had. And then he says, and I heard a voice. Not only did he see, he heard a voice saying to me, rise, Peter, kill and eat. But I said, by no means, Lord, for nothing common or unclean has ever entered my mouth. He's saying, I've abided by your word. I follow the commandments. But the voice answered a second time from heaven, what God has made clean, do not call common. This happened three times, and all was drawn up again into heaven. So Peter, we looked at this last week. It's a recap, and I don't know about you, but I need reminders. I like when Scripture repeats itself because I'm like, oh, yeah, that. C.S. Lewis, in his book, Mere Christianity, said, we have to be continually reminded of what we believe. Neither this belief nor any other will automatically remain alive. It must be fed. That's what Scripture does. Repeats. Peter is repeating. He was quietly, faithful, praying. Vision came, and then he was quick to obey. Verse 11, and behold, at that very moment, three men arrived at the house in which we were sent, to me from Caesarea, and the Spirit told me to go with them, making no distinction. Remember this from last week? He dropped assumptions. These six brothers also accompanied me, and we entered the man's house. And he told me, He told us how he had seen the angel stand in his house and say, send to Joppa and bring Simon, who is called Peter. He will declare to you a message by which you will be saved, you and all your household. And as I began to speak, Peter says, the Holy Spirit fell on them just as on us at the beginning. He's talking about proclaiming the truth of Jesus boldly. And I remember the word of the Lord, how he said, John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. If then God gave the same gift to them as he gave to us when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could stand in God's way? And when they heard these things, they fell silent. They glorified God, saying, then to the Gentiles also God has granted repentance that leads to life. And my friends, that includes all of us. That doesn't have a past that is of the Jewish descent, meaning that he came not just for the family of Abraham, he came for all, adopted us, grafted us into this incredible story that was from the beginning. Peter reports with honesty. He was sequential. He was truthful and humility. It wasn't about Peter. Peter wasn't the main point of this whole story. Who was? It was God. In this third point, they glorified God, saying, then to the Gentiles also, God has granted repentance that leads to life. Celebrate God's stories. Celebrate the stories of how God has been moving in your life, how God is moving the lives of your loved ones. How often do we do that? We celebrate our teams when they win sports. We celebrate our friends when they do good in jobs and get promotions, and all those things are great things. We should. And we should celebrate what God is doing. Celebrate his wins in our life. Peter here is reporting the truth. And my prayer is that this week you also report some of the truths that God is unveiling to you, that God is revealing in your life, so that faith would arise. Galatians 6:14, Paul boasts not in himself. He's wrapping up his letter to the Galatians, and he says, far be it from me to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world, meaning that Paul no longer lives for himself, but he lives by faith in the Son of God who loved him and gave himself for him. May we do the same. Especially in a week full of greed. Black Friday is one of the most greedy holidays there is. If it's even a holiday, it should be called the opposite, whatever that is. But what if we practiced generosity? What if we practiced gratitude as we celebrated what God was doing in our lives? And my prayer is that we not only do that then, but that we would start now. My prayer is that this survey that we're going to take time in this gathering to fulfill now, that it wouldn't just be checking off boxes, but that God would actually use this to allow you to reflect on how you're doing. Maybe there's a question that would prompt you to further your faith or grow to become more like him. Our vision statement, our mission statement is to follow the perfect God. We're imperfect people following the perfect Savior. And the word follow really means three things, that we belong to God and we also belong to his church, to one another. That we are to grow to become more like him, and that we're called to reach with him, reach others with him. And so my prayer is that as these questions come up on your phones, that you would feel free to answer them honestly and then maybe allow the Lord to speak to you through them. So what we're going to do, again, this is different. Introverts, we're here. 15 minutes I'm going to allot, and I'll come back here and wrap it up. If you go on the guide, ccc.guide, there's a QR code. You can put your phone to the sticker. If you're in the Oaks room, you can scan the QR code. Before we do the survey, though, let me pray. Oh, and by the way, if you need anything, just raise your hand and someone will come to you if you have technical difficulties. Father, I thank you for this time. Lord, you've made it happen, this opportunity for us to be a pilot church. It's quite a cool thing. And so I do ask that we would be a blessing to them. We would redeem prophetically, Lord, what you actually established Harvard to be. But God, I pray that we as a church would be built up, edified through this, and that every person and every family would be encouraged and lifted up through this as well. Pray all this in Jesus' name.
Thanks for listening to the Sunday Messages podcast. You can dive deeper into the messages weekly by subscribing to the Conversations podcast, where we dig into the previous Sunday's message, unpacking how we can apply it further in our daily lives. See you again next week.